Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The peace on earth spoken of in the Christmas story will not happen until Jesus sets up his kingdom on earth. He will deliver the whole world from the scourge of war. But when he first came to live among us, few understood that. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer concludes a Christmas series on Christ before Bethlehem. We're learning about Christ the Deliverer, focusing on some high drama in Luke chapter 4. Jesus reads a prophetic scroll that he says speaks of him.
Then Jesus goes on to say, in effect, you know that you can't manipulate me. You can't think of me as somebody who's going to come here and I'm going to perform for you. And you say, oh yeah, do what you did at Capernaum. And so I come and I say, yeah, I'm going to prove I can do even greater things in my hometown than I did at Capernaum. No, 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 no. No one has a claim on me. And then he tells two stories that make them furious, both of them, from the Old Testament. He says, you know, during the time of Elijah, there was a widow, and she lived in Sidon. She was a Gentile. There were many widows in Israel. But you know something? Elijah went to a Gentile woman, a widow, and he said to her, if you give me food, your flask of oil will never go out, and your container of flour will always contain more. That's what it says in 1 Kings 17. And that's what happened. It was a miracle. And so, you see, what Jesus is saying is, you'll notice that God often goes out of the box. God often goes where he's unexpected. He bypassed all of the widows in Israel, and he chose a Gentile widow to bless. And he did a miracle for her. And then if that wasn't enough, he says, you remember Naaman the leper? He says, there were plenty of lepers in Israel. And what does God do? He goes to Naaman, who happens to be a Syrian, and he does a miracle for Naaman that he didn't do for the nation Israel. What Jesus is trying to say here, I think, is that don't ever think that you have a corner on God, or think that God will do a miracle for you because he kind of owes it to you. He doesn't owe it to anyone. And those who think that they have some kind of a claim that they can demand it are misinterpreting God's intentions that are oftentimes are way beyond our ability to grasp or to understand. And what Jesus is saying is, if you humbled yourself and acknowledged your great need and realized how desperately you need my salvation and you need what I'm bringing to you, who knows, then God may be pleased to bless you. What made them so furious is the reminder that God sometimes blesses Gentiles more than he does Jews. So what did they do? Verse 28, when they heard these things, all the synagogue were filled with wrath. He began by everyone loving him and just looking at all the things that were coming out of his mouth as gracious. But when he got into the racial issue, they became angry. And they rose up and they drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill, which I told you about, on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through the midst, he went away. So there's Jesus in the synagogue, warmly received at the beginning, tried to kill him at the end. What is Jesus saying to us today? What he's saying is, first of all, my ministry goes to those who are oppressed. I always begin there. My rule has to do with justice and righteousness and the poor, says Jesus. And then also, my ministry goes beyond the boundaries. It goes to those least likely to receive my grace. It goes even to Gentiles. It goes outside the box of Judaism. What does this mean for us today, and why should our lives be changed because we've read the text and we've expounded it? First of all, because of the mission that God Himself has left to us, we actually carry on the work of Jesus. You know, it's true that Jesus didn't fulfill all of this prophecy, obviously, but this is what He does when He begins to rule, and this is what we should be about. In addition to proclaiming the good news that Jesus died for sinners, we should all have within ourselves, as followers of Jesus, what can be called a very sensitive social conscience, which sometimes we lack. The book of Acts opens in an interesting way. It says, "The former treatise I have written to you, O Theophilus," Luke says. Theophilus was a God lover, at least that's what his name meant. But he says, "I wrote to you the Gospel of Luke," that's what he means by the former treatise, "which expounds what Jesus began both to do and to teach." And then he says, "In effect, I'm writing you this volume, namely the Gospel of Acts, so that you begin to see how Jesus continued to do and to teach these things." And how does he do it? Through his body, the body of Christ, through us, through you and me. That's why beginning next week here at the church, I'm hoping to introduce you to a series of messages on the church. The fact that God thinks so much of us that he calls us the body of Christ. Why are we the body of Christ? It is because we should be doing Christ's work. And we should be doing it in places where people would think that blessing would not be expected. Just like the widow in Sidon or the Syrian Naaman healed of leprosy. I'm so pleased that as we begin this year, we can think about opportunities God has given to us. We think of Living Faith Church. Living Faith Church, we should constantly be praying for Pastor Will. We think of Kids Club. You know, of course, about 6 or 8 months ago, the authorities here in Chicago came to us and said that what's happening at Kids Club at Cabrini Green cannot be duplicated in any of our programs. Will you expand to Alt Guild? And so we've done that. Thanks to the leadership of Danita and others in the ministry. Because God loves to go to places and do unexpected things in territories and in the lives of people that oftentimes we think are, quote, outside the box. Early this morning, earlier than I had intended, that's another story, I read this passage of Scripture. And I read it as a prayer for ourselves and for Moody Church. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon us. May He anoint us to proclaim good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, liberty to the oppressed. And say to people, behold your God, the year of Jubilee is here. Let's blow the trumpet, be free in Jesus. That's what we're called to do. So second, as we read this text, let us be reminded that we do accept the authority of Jesus, not only as Messiah, and of course all that that entails, but as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I was meditating on this passage during this past week. I was reminded of another instance in which Jesus is handed a scroll. That's why when I read this text a few moments ago, I asked you to look at that phrase. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. Is there any other place in the Bible where Jesus is handed a scroll? I'm sure that many times he was handed a scroll, but is there a reference to it? This is what we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven and on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Don't weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And the scroll is given to Jesus, and that's why they sing a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." He is able to open the scroll. You read the book of Revelation, the rest of it. We don't know everything that was on the scroll. It's really a scroll, perhaps, of all of world history, but it includes judgment. So from here on in the book of Revelation, you have the first seal, and then you have the second seal, and the third seal, and all the way through the seven seals. And it dawned on me that that's where we get the phrase now, "and the day of vengeance of our God." Jesus, in his first coming, offers himself as king, willing to bring about this kingdom of righteousness. He is there. He is crucified. The kingdom does not take place. It still is future. But so is the day of vengeance of our God. And the Jesus who heals the sick, who's concerned about the poor, who ministered and touched lives while here he is here on earth and was here on earth, that same Jesus then returns. First coming comes as Savior. Second coming comes as Judge, as Lord, as God. He's the only one qualified to open that book and to read its contents.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. Jesus read a scroll when he was here on earth, and the Bible predicts he is going to read another scroll when he is there in heaven, where of course he is now, but someday the events of the book of Revelation will be unfolded. But let me conclude today by talking about your book. I'm speaking about your life. Jesus is reading that book too. He knows the preface, he knows how it's going to end, and he knows everything in between. How foolish for us to keep him out of our lives when in point of fact he knows all about us anyway. Can I conclude today by urging you to open your life to Jesus as a book? Invite him to go through every page to cleanse and to lead for his glory.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Christ the Deliverer, his final message on Christ before Bethlehem. Next time, we change our focus to the skies over Bethlehem, ablaze with angels. Don't miss a series on A Flurry of Wings. Christ Before Bethlehem can be yours on CD as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.